Are you fighting people?
Hello and welcome back to Tuesday Night Gaming, back after a hiatus.
Welcome to the new monthly podcast called Tuesday Night Gaming, once a month.
Right, that's Jay, and we got Rob, and guest star and Guru. And today we're playing Fortnite, we're back to that, and we're talking about Schenectady.
How do you even say it, Rob?
Schenectady. I say Schenectady, but I'm not exactly sure.
Schenectady, New York. But first, we have Rob's Movie Corner. Yeah, we haven't forgotten about that. So let's just say the movies you've seen like recently that you want to talk about for the sake of time. I can go first if you guys would like.
Go for it.
Absolutely.
So over the last week, I went with former podcaster Alana and her baby to a baby screening of the Super Mario Galaxy movie.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was okay. I did not get spoiled for the cameos. So the cameos really worked for me. They worked really well.
God.
So take that for what that's worth. I also watched Network.
Oh, nice.
From 1975, which has actually reminded me of Schenectady. There are some similarities, yeah.
Interesting.
And then finally, Guru and I are halfway through what seems to be like a Hulu original movie called A Nice Indian Boy.
Oh.
Where...
Is he really nice?
Well, it's about a gay Indian boy who wants to meet a nice Indian boy, but he finds a white guy instead. So you can see why.
The worst.
But there's a great Jagger. You want to tell him the joke you laughed really hard at?
You said the thing.
Okay. So they meet his parents. So they meet the parents. And the dad asks, by the way, the boyfriend is played by Jonathan Goff or Groff. Is it Goff?
Oh, really?
Okay.
From Hamilton. So the dad says, so what do you do? And he says, oh, I'm a freelance photographer. And the dad says, no, I mean for a living.
And the mom says,
hey, you should be nice to him. And the dad says in Hindi, what? Freelance is an American word that means unemployed. Yeah, so.
Otherwise, the mom and dad keep going.
Yeah, would keep ragging on him. So anyway, so there's that. And
I think people say now entrepreneur or CEO is the new unemployed, to be fair. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it for us.
Don't you want to tell about Durandar?
Well, we're going to see Durandar 2 tomorrow.
A little bit about 1, and then we are going to 2 tomorrow.
And I told these guys about it offline, but yeah, the Indian movie Durandar, it's really big, it's viral. Pakistan banned it because it made them look bad. We saw the original. It was really good, really intense, but also really violent.
Very violent.
So. Pretty awesome. I did see the trailer, and this looks pretty sweet.
We're going to see it tomorrow. We're going to see the sequel tomorrow. Yeah. So, okay, that's it for me.
So, I don't want to yuck your yum, but I also saw the Mario movie, and I need to, I need to let it all out. I don't know. I was just like, I didn't like the first one that much, so I was like, I don't even know why I was seeing this other one, but I was just, I felt obliged, and some friend was watching, and I was like, all right, fine. And it was, I don't know. Is it the worst movie I've seen this year? Probably. I don't know. It's just like, and like the first movie, like, had almost no plot or characters or even like character development, character dynamics, just like anything. Like, and this one has like, negative that I don't know, it's just like, but the thing is it does like move pretty quickly, so you're constantly like, oh, that was fine. Like, I mean, I can see why like some people enjoy it, and like I have been like watching a fair amount of reviews, and people are like, there's a good amount of people that are just like, yeah, it's fun enough, and I kind of get it, but like I'm just an old man, I'm just very frustrated. I'm just like, we used to have like characters, not just like just people like moving through like the motions until like it's the end of the movie and then it's over. Like, I don't know. There's no like, even the first one had like a little bit of dynamics with like Luigi and Mario, even though like it gave up on it like after 20 minutes, but like there was an attempt. Like, this one doesn't really have anything. Like, I mean, I know a lot of people were complaining about, like, Rosalina doesn't, like, do anything besides be, like, a badass girl boss for, like, 15 minutes and then disappears from the movie. I don't know. It's just, yeah. Oh, jeez.
We're fighting. I mean, I don't know why your expectations were and were above, like, the floor.
Oh, God.
I think we should expect more of our kid movies. What? Think of the children. Think of your future children.
No, mindless kid movie. So, anything else, Rom?
Oh, yeah. I saw two movies in the theater last weekend. I'll say the other movie. I saw the drama with Zendaya and R-Pax.
Oh, yeah?
Which, you know, is making a little bit of money, at least, for an indie A24 movie.
There we go. Nice job.
And yeah, I definitely, that's in my like top five of the year so far. I definitely recommend. I was, very pleasantly surprised. It was like, I mean, it's all like hinged on kind of a twist-ish. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I heard there was a big twist. I bet it snagged me. Wait, why are we crawling around? So what did you think of the big twist without giving it away?
Without giving it away, I was like, because I knew there was one, but I like just avoided the internet just to like, and like, I did like the twist. Like, I laughed out loud when they said what it was, basically. But I did. There was a part of me that's like, in the poster, like Robert Pattinson's all beat up. So I was like, is this like secretly an action movie or something? I was expecting like something really big, but no, it's like it is mostly a talkie type movie, which is fine. You know, I mean, I like, we're post silent era, but no, I mean, it is, it's like a dark comedy and like, it gets pretty dark and like weird and everything I like about that. Yeah. So I definitely recommend it. Robert Pattinson and Zendaya are really good, especially Zendaya. And it's by the guy that did Dream Scenario, the Nick Cage movie where he's in everybody's dream. Which I didn't realize as I was watching it until I found out later, but like, it definitely has his vibe, a lot of weird stuff in it. But yeah, I definitely recommend. And I'll just say one extra movie. Just, I was in Taiwan like a week or two ago and I saw Project Hail Mary there, and it's like everybody says, it's pretty freaking great.
Did you appreciate the Artemis quoting it?
Wait, Artemis?
The astronauts at Artemis.
I didn't know that, actually. No, that's a positive thing. Okay.
Did the experience of watching in Taiwan change it at all?
In the sense that, like, I mean, the theater was, like, half full, so it was, like, somewhat popular, but it was a bit strange that, like, they were just obviously mostly watching in subtitles. It was like in English, but with like Chinese subtitles. And like, I think some bits were lost because I was like laughing out loud. And like, I was the only one besides maybe some other American, the far end of the theater, also laughing. Mm-hmm. So I think like there was maybe the jokes weren't landing with the subtitles, or just like, I mean, sometimes it's just like the way Ryan Gosling says something. Yeah. It's just, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just,
he's the very delivery charming. Is unique at times.
Yes. But yeah, I definitely recommend. It's definitely my top three, if not maybe just number one of the year.
Of the year.
So far.
Yeah. Yeah, the very lowest of lows and highest of highs.
Very good. All right, now should we get into Synecdoche, New York?
Did Jay see anything? Or did we just assume?
Oh, sorry.
I would have said it.
Yeah, I usually doesn't. Okay, so, oh boy, where do we begin with this one? Rob did it to us again, folks.
I did, haha.
I actually missed the last one, but from what I heard, that sounds kind of similar. As soon as you thought of poop in the toilet, I was like, you did it to us again.
It wasn't that bad. It was a cute little comedy that was really lighthearted.
I told Guru the movie summed up as life sucks and then you die.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Are you spoiling about life or about the movie?
A little of A and a little of B and a B.
Okay, all right.
A little bit of both, yeah. So I do think it's a good movie, but that doesn't mean it's not necessarily the kind of movie I would like. You're like...
I have seen it many times, which probably says more about me than the movie, but yeah, it's... But it's well regarded. I mean, like Roger Ebert named it the best movie of the decade. But like, I mean, it also has like, but it was also kind of divisive. I mean, it's got like maybe 70-something% on Rotten Tomatoes. So like, I wasn't sure, yeah, how you guys take it. But you know, I'm glad you at least semi enjoyed it.
There's stuff to enjoy. Yeah,
it was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you think, Jay? Or should we just go over all the notes afterwards?
I actually didn't mind. I will say at times it was painful.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I mean, it was like a punch drunk awkwardness, right?
Like a punch drunk love kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Fringy.
But it was fun at the same time. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. So,
it was fun. I think it might be the first person to call it fun.
I think it's fun. I agree, Jay.
It was cute. I like the time change. Like, well, no, I take that back. I was very confused initially about all the time jumps. And
mm-hmm.
then when it came to the movie portion of it, and when it came to the later stages, I was like, is this because of that or is it because of that? Is it because I'm now staring at another actor playing another actor, or is it because
so that's the thing, like, if I may jump in, Jay, I don't mind weird movies. So one of my favorite movies that we did on the Spy-Fi Guys is Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Charlie Kaufman, yeah.
It's written by Charlie Kaufman. Yeah, because it doesn't go too weird. This movie went too weird. I feel comfortable saying that. And Guru watched Confessions of a Dangerous Mind with me as well.
Okay.
It was
did Guru watch Schenectady?
She did.
Yes, I did.
And it all made perfect sense and everything? Okay.
No, I had some questions, maybe a lot, but some of the analogies, or I think there's a hidden meaning behind some of
there is definitely no hidden meaning. Straight time travel.
Sometimes it like is just like blunt about what things are like.
It just comes out and says what it's trying to say. Like
every once in a while, I think it sometimes will just be like, well, the beginning is the end, or they'll say like a character's like, oh, you're kind of like Caden is a character that's moving like through time, and time is disconnected, and he's like already dead, and yada yada, like,
who's shooting me?
And there is like the suggestion.
Yeah, they keep coming back to that. Well, so the thing is, like, I understand the movie has themes, but themes is all it has sometimes. What's up, girl? You have something?
Yeah, the characters playing characters sort of felt like a little bit of Inception. Wait, are there more layers there?
Yeah, there's layers upon layers.
Well, it goes a little too far. So, like, I watched a little bit of YouTube analysis, which may have not been a good idea. But the idea was, the guy was saying, like, at the end, like, Caden becomes Ellen.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
He is Ellen.
There's a little too much.
I mean, like, becomes is, like, a strong word, but, like, he's, like, yeah, in some ways, yeah. I mean, because obviously his, like, mother is, like, he's seeing his mother at the end. I love the movie to death, but, yeah, it was a little... not exactly subtle when he like goes through like there's like a sheet of like it looks like a vagina, like this like clear plastic sheet. I guess because he's like going back to his like birth basically, and that's why he's like going back to his mother.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean when it's too far.
Yeah,
and also like I feel like it has to be a coherent story first, and maybe this is me being ridiculous.
He's going back to his...
Sis, you're the thing. So, like, in the beginning, like, the start of the movie, he has all these health problems, right? And then they never even resolve that. It's like, in the beginning, his body is, like, falling apart, and yet he still lives for another 30 years.
Damn straight.
Do you think the idea is, like, the health issues are just in his head, just like everything else?
He does talk about psychosis a lot.
Yeah, different types of psychosis, yeah, like... There's like this, the pustules on his face, and then like, yeah,
which could be caused from psychosis, which is just a different form of the other psychosis,
which he says what his wife Adele has. Yeah,
I really liked that conversation. It was
the pustules. Hello,
pustule. Yeah, I think that's what Jay's talking about.
Yeah, and the differences between the psychosis and yeah,
and psychosis.
Oh yeah. But anyways, like, get crazy, like your mother.
Yeah. It's cute. And, like, I like the actress playing his daughter just, like, has the nice...
It's so
just,
good.
Like, the funniest, like, timing and, like, tone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So not really acting much sense, yeah.
One of the questions I had in the beginning of the movie was, are they losers or not?
Oh.
Because in the beginning, it's like, he's not in good shape. His house is, like, literally falling apart. And then they're like, oh, by the way, my art show's in Berlin this weekend. And it's like, wait, what? If they are artists and they, you know, why isn't their, like, house nicer?
What? The whole basement's amazing. It's full of art.
Well, yeah,
That's interesting you think. Yeah, I always thought of them as fairly successful considering they're, like, artists and they're able to, like, have a career and have a house.
A career in what I thought was, like, community theater. Oops, sorry.
Just go ahead.
Well, I think it's because I'm used to Hollywood, where everything is, like, very direct. Where it's like, if you're a success, everything about you is a success. And if you're a loser, everything about you is a loser. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're, like, moderately successful artists. Although, I don't know, I get the sense that, like, they're doing pretty well. I mean, they have so many, he, like, has, it seems like a lot of plays and, like... I don't know. I think, and the fact that he gets the MacArthur grant, I mean, which, granted, like, could be, you know, how much is this in his head and whatever, but, like, I mean, I kind of just, to make it myself, make it easier for myself, I just assume everything's real, more or less. Like, I mean, if you're going to be like, oh, maybe he died at some point, because he mentioned suicide, he's like, oh, I didn't jump, but, like, I don't know. I think the whole thing is so trippy because, like, from the very beginning, that one character, Sammy, is following him around, like, in a stalker way, like, recording him. And, like, that's from, like, the very first, like, minute or two. So, like, if it is all just a dream, then it's, like, a dream from the very beginning, I would say.
Well, I mean, it gets weird really fast, like, with the house that's on fire. And she's like, I'm just a little worried about the fire.
Yeah.
Right? I just want a home that I could live in, be at one. And, you know, just live my life. And, you know, I never thought I'd own a home. That was really fun.
And they mentioned, like, that she's going to die in the fire. And then it ends up being accurate. Like, she dies of, like, smoke inhalation, which is, like, I don't know. I think they got a laugh in the theater when I saw it back in the day. But
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense because she's been living in this house for 30 years and she dies of smoke inhalation now.
Inhalation takes
maybe that's the point.
She's not there very often.
Choosing your death. I mean, that's the scary thing about buying a house. You're choosing a place you might die in. I think that's part of it, at least in my head.
It's about a car, too. You know?
A car?
Yeah, it's like if you buy a car, you're choosing a car that you might die in, too.
Yeah, that's scary. Right.
So,
scary.
Yeah. It was like, death is a theme, man.
Yeah. But, like, as they say, like, so is dating. Like, and the thing, and, like, it's about everything. I think he's aware that, like, he's like, oh, I see the criticism's already coming, so I'm gonna be making fun of them.
Yep, all fair. Woo! Sorry, guys. Nice.
Yeah, the guru.
What? Mm-hmm. We said what about the therapist? What about her?
Yeah, that she doesn't say anything at all.
No, I like that she interrupts him constantly basically finishes what he said. So you're never sure if it's all just in his head or not.
Mm.
somehow can, and then is just conveniently wants to rub up on him.
Well, something that I thought at the beginning was, if nothing's real, then like, why do I care? But fortunately, it stopped being too weird eventually before it got extremely weird again at the end. Right.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, I actually, when I rewatch this movie, sometimes I skip the first like 30 or 40 minutes because it's like, it's actually like, I mean, it's less surreal because it's before he gets the MacArthur grant. I think that's when it really picks up steam for me, when it's like all this trippy, like actor playing actor playing actor. I like all that stuff the most. And I think all the like emotional beats are really,
you gotta go.
The last two thirds.
Mm-hmm.
Music is all big and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the therapist tries to seduce him or something after she knows that he got a grant.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, she's almost like a... That's a great question. I like almost always like forget about her because she kind of disappears from the movie like towards the end.
Yeah, right. I mean,
team, come here. One.
Sorry, I'm healing Jay.
Nope, you're right there.
Drew had a good point, but I think it's just that the therapist is like obsessed with money, and she only cares about him when he has some money.
Notoriety, how many books, and that's all that other stuff.
And she writes a book that doesn't make any sense at all.
Duck into it. Yeah. I'm going to get shot.
Well, I did like the part where she's like, you rejected me and now this book is over and the rest of it's empty.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff I liked.
Yeah, I mean, it's all very dreamlike for sure. And yeah, I don't know what... Oh, wow.
Nice job, guys, we won.
Yay.
Didn't even feel like it. Yeah, I barely think about her because like there's no like emotional
from her. It was just eye candy in the movie.
Yeah, some sexy Hope Davis, yeah.
Oh, like, you know, I was telling Guru this, and it is funny how I imagined in this movie Charlie Kaufman sitting at his typewriter with a cigarette in his mouth, and he's like, I'm gonna write a movie about the human condition, about death, about decay, about Jungian psychology. But first, type. And in this scene, the hot MILF takes her top off and stares at the camera with her boobs out for 10 minutes. Oh, yeah. Tick, 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 tick.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. But he's aware of that. He's definitely like, it's like most of the cast is like females that are like all in love with Philip Seymour Hoffman, who is, granted, not like a classically attractive dude.
How many of these movies is like wish fulfillment by Hollywood screenwriters? And it's just so obvious. What's up, girl?
No. So Zach was saying how the guy is not attractive, but all his women are into him.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And my theory for that was they're not there for his looks, but probably for his talent or for...
It's like status, yeah.
I think that's definitely part of it. Especially like Michelle Williams' character seems like obsessed with like him, like in terms of like, but also like his talent. Like she is like at least a wannabe artist, you know. And she is talented more than some of them. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of them seemed like that. I mean, yeah. I think that was the whole point of your. Well, not the whole point, but I think part of that theme is like who you are is what your skills are, what you bring to the table. Like same with Adele, like isn't doing anything much in the beginning and then goes to Berlin and suddenly is famous for making all these tiny miniature art pieces, right? Doing something unique and different. And then with Maria, by the way.
And who is Eric? The daughter asks him her dad to apologize.
And well, we find out Eric at the end. We find Eric at the end.
Is that Eric at the end? I didn't realize that actually.
Yeah, that's Eric because that's Caden stand-in, right? Dating Eric. They had to hire an Eric to be Eric, who is at the end, and the whole end is them loving him, and being like, yeah, he doesn't really like me.
But the whole thing about Kaden running off with the gay lover, I thought she just made that up.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, she made it up.
Thought, what we all thought, but did they? Or maybe is that part of his psychosis? He just blocked that all out and no one knew. Until we get it at the end and go, oh, maybe Eric was a real part of the life and that he just completely blanks out. Because remember, part of the movie is all about how he's skipping through time periods and he's missing like years, like when Adele first leaves and then comes back. And then like the next time he's talking to Hazel is like 1 year later and she's like, I need to get you a calendar. And then 4 years later, and then suddenly has a 5-year-old with Michelle.
Right.
So you don't know what's happening in these tiny little periods. Well, not even tiny periods, but years that we're missing.
Mm.
So this Eric existed.
Yeah, that's right. He did exist.
That's a good call, Jay. I never really thought about. Wait, so who is? Wait, so is Eric? Which guy is he in the end?
At the end, like, towards the last like 15-20 minutes is when she's talking him through the earpiece, and he's sleeping in Ellen's little cubby, little closet area, and she's and he's like.
Oh, he's the old man there.
Yeah, he's the old man, and she's going through her own grief, and she's telling him, and she talks about the picnic, and then it flashes to her in the apartment with Eric eating, and she's like, and Eric doesn't even fucking like me, and I disappoint him, I disappoint mom, and then I think it's the last like 15-20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah,
but it goes past.
Yeah,
getting back to him having all these lovers for a second, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please.
I liked how they, for the most part, they were age appropriate for him, at least. Only some other movies I could think of. But then that also happened in Network, by the way. I assume you're not going to remember this, but the main character is, they keep calling him a middle-aged man, but his face looks like the side of a mountain.
Liam Holden? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So this woman executive like inexplicably falls in love with him and just wants to bang him all the time, even though she's lying to him. So
that makes sense because he's William Holden. I don't know. I don't know if I agree that like it's like total wishful. I mean, in some ways because it's like dreamlike, so it's gonna have like a bunch of women that are just, like obsessed with him. But I feel like he's such like a freaking like loser, and he keeps being like, he's like, I keep crying during sex, and then like everyone's like rejecting him, and it's kind of a like when Adele's like having so much success in Germany, it's like you know, it's kind of this like nightmare scenario that like, you know, he kind of brought upon himself really because he's a loser. So I don't feel like it's fully like wish fulfillment. He's pretty sad sack, which is probably accurate to the real Charlie Kaufman.
Richard Seymour and a lot of actors who end up going through like you know creativity happens when you're like at your worst sometimes.
Yeah, I wonder what happened to Charlie Kaufman that made him so messed up. Actually, I read his Wikipedia page and it didn't answer my question, but I did learn that he grew up in West Hartford, Connecticut, which is where I grew up.
Yep. Massapequa, New York, and then moved to Connecticut. And
do you want to stop by his house?
Do you think his house is like a museum?
I would love to go to his house. He's probably got nothing. I mean, he's very like literary. He's probably, there's a bunch of books, but
whatever. Yeah, I bet you it's just a library.
Wikipedia says he doesn't live there now. He lives in Manhattan.
Yeah, he grew up there. And that was it.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
But can someone explain Ethel's story? Was she alive? Did she pass away or something? She's never in her apartment. They never like.
She's too busy banging.
Yeah,
they say that she dies of lung cancer at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say that?
Yeah, it is interesting. We never see her
ever again,
like old age. But I mean, like, I guess it's like she moved on. Like, why would she?
Yeah, but they never showed the transition from like what, like she's in Berlin. All of a sudden, there is an apartment that he is going and cleaning in New York. Now, where did that Berlin to New York
transition happen? Yeah, I think she moved back. I think that's the Yeah.
Yeah, she was subleasing the apartment.
Because her plan was just 1 month in Berlin. Obviously, it became much longer, but I don't think it was ever supposed to be permanent. Yeah.
And well, she brought back her hubbies.
I mean, there was a good example of the movie going for, like, themes over what a plot that actually makes sense, which is the part where they're in the theater, and the big theater, and the guy says, when are we going to get an audience in here? We've been working on it for 17 years. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, it's you get that reaction from the audience, but it's like no actor would work on a play for 17 years.
Well, the thing's all absurdist. Like, there's even, like, the character, like, she's like, oh, I had twins, and then she's like, names three names.
Yeah.
Like,
that was cool, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's all absurd. And, like, I think because it does it early enough, although I think the fire thing is the first time I was like, oh, this is, like, really going out there.
Surrealist.
Yeah, yeah.
I like, and they're like, my son, do you want to meet my son in the basement?
And yeah. And eventually becomes her husband. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is in the basement.
The Derek.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you guys want to know my favorite part of the movie?
Yes.
It's Sammy's audition.
Oh. Yeah, that's a good moment.
When he says, I've been following you for 20 years, and if you hire me, you'll find out who you really are. I was like, yeah, give it to me. But then we don't find out.
Doesn't fully give it. I mean, like, yes, because Sammy doesn't even fully know.
Understand, yeah.
Yeah. Himself.
So the YouTube analysis I watched said that they theorize that Sammy is God, or the representation of God in the world, because he knows things it's impossible to know, and he can, like, do things that's impossible to do.
And he falls in love with his own world, like...
With one of the...
Hazel.
Yeah,
he calls real Hazel. Hazel.
The real Hazel. He's like, well, you have your own Hazel. No, I like this one. Yeah.
Falls in love.
Sure, why not?
But he, like, God is, like, flawed, which I guess is, like, real God. But, like, he's, like... But he'll, like... He was, like, pretending to be Caden, and, like, he'll do things that Caden at least thinks he wouldn't do. Like, he's like, oh, we're gonna fire those people. And Caden's like, don't actually do that.
Which ends up being a lot of the case where early on, it's all about accuracy and how everyone has to have their notes and exactly do what he wants. But then later on, yeah, you get more Sammy taking on that penchant of going off script. And then you get the next Caden also doing that and completely taking over, in fact, the storyline and completely making it themselves, their own story, which is something he was looking for, but did not know he was looking for. Well, but he was going to be the one who was going to create it and have someone else create it for him.
He was definitely, like, less subtle with, you know, the priest just, like, throwing out themes but it's a great speech, in my opinion.
Yeah. Finally, the movie stopped, made you trying to guess what it was talking about. It just came out and said it, which I appreciate.
Yeah. I mean, because there's a different actor directing the whole thing.
But guys, who do you think took whose job? Like, Ellen took Caden's director job, or Caden took Ellen's cleaning job?
Ooh.
I guess kind of both. Yeah, but who like chose what? Yeah.
Yeah, good question. Well, people are like, did Evelyn ever really exist, or was she Caden all along? Ugh.
Or was Caden I mean, because at one point, you know, he's very thankful that they point him that he was able to be Ellen and felt pretty for a change. So maybe for a part of his life, he was Ellen.
Yeah. This is actually like a, from what I've heard, like kind of like a sort of big trans movie. Like, even though it's like, it's just basically that one line where he's like, well, I'd rather be a, sometimes I wish I was a girl. And then she's like, why? He's like, I think I'd just be better at it. Which I think is partially why he surrounds himself with like women. He has like no guy friends. But they also, he's also just a, I don't know. He's very feminine. And like, I mean, like he says, he's very hetero, which I do interpret as being the case, but you know, you could certainly interpret it the other way, that like she was actually with Eric, or he was actually with Eric, whatever.
Yeah, the YouTube said that too, where it's like gender bending. Well, because he becomes Ellen, right? And Ellen's a woman. I mean, people mistake him for Ellen as well, right? The woman in the corner is like, are you Ellen, whatever? And he says, no.
I mean, mistake is like a strong word. Like, I feel like she's like playing the part. I feel like in that, like she's hired to, like he's officially, like Caden's officially playing the role of Ellen at that point.
Yeah.
But in the real world?
But I think the fake role, although like there's like one scene where like when he's leaving Adele, or no, he's leaving Michelle Williams, it almost looks like they're like still on the set. I thought it was weird.
Yeah, like again, it definitely makes you question what's going on at times, which is fun to me.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the movie, I just needed to know, like, or that our character changed, or that he learned something, or that something happened, instead of he's just like,
Well, I think it's like
the world itself.
I think because he's trying to constantly figure it out and constantly, like, I think that's part of the reason, like, he keeps bringing up, like, the title of the movie, because he doesn't really know what he wants, what he, like, what the world is about, anything, and, like, even at the very end, he's still like, oh, I really thought of how to figure this out, and he still hasn't. I think it's just that constant, like, you're never fully satisfied.
Unless you're being stuffed by goons and uns.
Yeah.
I like the stereotypes about, like, German nightclubs, and they're just full of depravity.
Pretty accurate, yeah.
Found that amusing.
So did the emotional beats not hit you guys that much? Because they always hit me pretty hard, but, like, I can see if you're, like, totally, like, taken out of it with all the confusion. Maybe it's not hitting as much. Maybe it's because the John Bryan score is, like, highly emotive. I think it's his best score. He also did, like, Eternal Sunshine's.
Yeah.
Did you know that Charlie Kaufman wrote lyrics to all the songs?
Yeah, I did. There's a great like Q&A where like some guy, it's kind of just the way he worded it, but he's like what, kind of like, it's like, what audacity you have, sir, to even do that. Like, but that is Charlie Kaufman for you.
Jeez. Yep, that's our guy.
What emotional punches did you enjoy the most, Rob?
I think the last like 30 minutes are the best, I think, in terms of, like, I don't know, the music's really ratcheting up. I think, like, the funeral scene where he's, like, the priest just keeps saying fucking a lot, but, like, he's hitting a lot of, like, getting pretty emotional, and then, like, there's the narration of, like, I think the whole relationship with him and Ellen, and, like, her wanting a kid, and him, like, wishing his daughter was, like, still around, and just that connection between the two. I feel that's very emotional. And like the little narration from like his daughter and a few other scenes, like her doing the little story of like the fairies, like dying, and her like going in a box and flying away, and he sees her like a million years later. Things like that, I think, is pretty emotional.
Speaking of the diary, I enjoyed him using that as a substitute for his own mental processing capabilities. Using it to interpret what he just happened. Yeah, Maria just kicked my ass. My daughter hates me. Yeah. I cried in bed with Hazel.
It's pretty sad.
All that stuff was cool. The, you know, books that don't finish or they keep going after they can't possibly go. Let me see what other my notes I had. We'll do one more. Some of like the stuff, one thing that bugged me was about his, I know this is kind of small, but this is about his dad, when the part where his dad dies and they were like, your dad died and his life was meaningless, and and he deleted everything about his life. I'm like, this is really coming out of nowhere. We saw his dad for all of like 30 seconds earlier in the movie.
I think it was like, I think that was like at least 70% a joke, just like that. It was like so ridiculous that it was like he died of cancer, like his whole body disappeared, and they put him in this little tiny
filled with cotton, so it didn't. Balls.
Yeah, so it didn't fall down. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, by the time we reached that part, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. But at first, they got me for a while.
Yeah, but it also plays to like the whole idea of it having a psychosis, right? Because you don't hear it, you don't see anything, and then suddenly he has cancer. And I mean, we just spent 45 minutes of him worrying about having cancer or some other terminal disease, or right?
And understanding all these hitting on that.
So who knows if his dad was really dead at that point or died years ago and then, you know. I mean, same thing when his mom passed away, right? We get the exact same scenario of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Passed. And it's just a feeding moment for the psychosis.
Yeah. A couple of the running gags I also quite like that we didn't mention yet is there's the one where like Caden has a daughter with a Michelle Williams character, and like he keeps forgetting her name. He's just like, oh, the other daughter, whatever.
Olive.
Yeah.
And it's three, and supposedly like the three twins, and it's just one, and it constantly keeps still saying Olive.
Yeah, just Olive. It's just
even
like,
though supposedly has dual boys.
It's crazy. It's
like, Hazel does. Yeah, it's true. And then, like, yeah, like, well, it's because, like, we're kind of like seeing the movie as he's seeing it. Like,
yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
These other, like, his other daughter's just not important. So, like, we don't really, he forgets about her, too.
Exactly. Mm. And no time at all happens, right? So, we don't even, he doesn't technically even really realize that it's happened until it's, like, brought to his attention. And he's like, oh. My kids.
Yeah, she's like, I think they know we're fucking. We have this daughter here. Yeah. Like, it's a good bit. And I just want to say the one other bit I like is the guy that plays I forget the death of the salesman guy, but like the guy that like the young skinny actor. Yeah, that's like is constantly bad at like taking direction and like just seemingly like a very bad actor, but like
Watch me walk.
Yeah, he just can't even do like walking, and he just like
can't even walk.
Takes a note. He does worse. Yeah.
Yeah, but so we rented this on YouTube, and the top comment was like, "This movie really made me want to go out and live, you know, see his life by the horns or whatever." And I was like, "What?" That's the impression I got. I mean, like the movie's trying to say that like. I know I said life sucks and then you die, but that was like a joke. So the point is like life is permanent and you look for a connection if you can get it. It's not going to last forever, but it'll make you happy while it's there. But that's not, they didn't really follow through on that. You know what I mean? Like our hero, our protagonist had a bunch of connections, but it didn't make him happy. He's just totally messed. He's like totally messed up all the time.
Yeah, right? I think that's the point, though.
Yeah,
so it's not a happy point, but it is a point, I would say.
Okay, I think Charlie Coffey needs a big hug. What's up, girl?
Yeah. So how I interpreted his second wife and second daughter is. He did not completely get over his first wife and daughter. That he's still in love with them. He still misses them. And that's his way to show that, like, he still hasn't fully accepted or let them go out of his life. Or, I mean, that was my interpretation.
Yeah, I think it's definitely true, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's right. Oh, actually, circling back to. Like not letting them go. The movie did one of the things that drives me absolutely bonkers in movies and TV, which is in the scene with the therapist where the wife says, I sometimes I wish Caden would die so I could start over again, guilt free. And then the scene just ends. It's like, well, what happened next?
No.
What do you mean, what happens next?
And she was like, she's like, do you feel bad about that? And she's like, yeah. He's like, she's like, good. I'm like, whatever. I botched that, but yeah, it was like
that's it.
Yeah. I mean, that says it all. Like, what more do you like? I mean, the movie moves pretty quickly, actually. Like,
yeah, it does. It's certainly not boring. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I think, yeah, especially after the first 40 minutes or so, it's really, it's like, you know, years go by to the clip. Like, pretty much every character ages a lot, except kind of Michelle Williams, but I'm like, I was like, now she is that age, and I'm like, she looks like that, so I'm like, yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, and there's just like, yeah, just strange lines and moments, like there are nearly 13 million people in this world, which I don't think is referring to, like, the warehouse. I think it's just, like, just a complete nonsense line, but I don't know. It's pretty funny.
You guys like the world falling apart outside? Once again, it was, like, a little too far. The movie didn't need to go to that level.
Oh, I loved it. I like going like a warehouse within a warehouse. I think it was like a warehouse 3 or 4.
No, I know you loved it, Rob.
Yeah, it's easy. And I'm not even a big Inception guy, so it was like, but this movie works for me. I think because it has a sense of humor about it all. It's not taking it too seriously.
Well, I was actually more referring to like the world turning into 1984 and like and shootings and. Yeah,
there's like the old naked man being like a choke chain around him for three seconds.
Cool. So, I don't mind the ambiguous, mysterious endings as long as they don't push it too far, which they did. So
push it too far. I don't know. Yeah, I know because I've seen this movie with somebody that like cried while watching. And I was like, oh, I didn't expect that reaction, but
yeah, like
yeah. And like our old friend Eric, RIP, I remember him saying like it's one of his favorite movies, and like when he heard about that reaction he was kind of surprised because he sees it as like just a comedy kind of which is kind of half what I see. I think he sees it like he's probably like me, he sees the emotional beats to it as well, but he's like laughing out loud a lot.
Well, we were wondering, maybe you could help us out with this, why on YouTube it was listed as a comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it's like 100%. Not 100%, but like, it's like a surreal comedy, but it's definitely like, it's like, there's a joke, like, I'd say like
every
minute or two. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I like the, I think at one of the funeral, the priest makes a speech.
Right. Yes, he does. This is a good speech.
That speech. That's the only place where it all made sense to me.
Yeah, I think like the movie becomes less subtle there. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, he spoke to me about the moon. Not like
not that you necessarily agreed with his point of view.
I mean, I can see what he's saying, but
he used the word "fucking" a lot more than Guru does. That's true.
Yeah, that's fair. So, anyway. Good pick, Rob. I will say it gave us a lot to talk about. It made me rethink what I want to pick when it comes my turn.
Yeah, it's the complete opposite. I don't know what the complete opposite of this is. The Mario Galaxy movie. I don't know, but...
No, I'd say the Mario Galaxy movie is probably the opposite.
That's what I figured. I was like, even if these guys don't like it, there'll still be a lot of thoughts on it. Yeah.
I want to know what Alana thinks about it.
What? Did she see it, or did she...
Yeah, I was about to ask. Do you think she saw it?
I would bet you most of my life savings that she did not watch it.
Yeah. I was about to say.
No, she's probably laughing the whole time. She has a dark sense of humor, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting on top of a hill.
Oh. Someday we find out.
But I learned the English word... And I didn't know such grammar words existed.
Synecdoche?
Yeah.
Or however you say it. I didn't know
that word either. I agree.
I didn't realize, I forgot, or maybe I'm like dumb, but I forgot that it's a play on words.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was just a place called Schenectady, which is different from Schenectady.
I forgot. When I was rewatching this for the million times, I was like, "Oh yeah, they actually do live in Schenectady, though." Like, because there's this Schenectady newspaper and stuff, so it is like truly a play on words. Fucking shot.
Guys, get out of there! Our position's not good. The YouTube analysis I was watching, like, they listened to the song in the beginning, sung by Olive,
the daughter,
sung by the daughter, and some of the lyrics are like, it's like, and when I'm dead, no one will remember me. So it's like the theme of the movie. You've heard this before, yeah. Rob?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because I mean, I listen to the soundtrack a good amount. There's like a slightly like altered, like more highly produced version on the soundtrack. Like it's composed by John Bryan, but yeah, the lyrics by Charlie Kaufman, as you said.
Oh, jeez.
I'm moving. Launch.
I knocked myself off of the thing. I need a res. Well, Matt should be coming on for questions of the day shortly. I guess until then, anything else you want to say about Schenectady, New York?
One of the best movies of all time. There, I said it. I was going to say the year. I think it's my favorite movie of that year, but I think it's one of the best movies of the 21st century, at least. Hot take. I mean, apparently.
It's a good movie. It's not the kind of movie I would
like. That
yeah. That's my thought. Oh, thank you, Jay. Oh, geez.
Thank you for indulging me, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Of course. Hey, buddy.
What's up?
Dominion's up.
Dominion.
Yeah, we just switched to Dominion.
How was the movie? Oh, nice job.
I'd said Rob did it to us again.
I win.
Oh, that's what I heard.
No, it's not true. I was like, what's an accessible movie for you guys? And I was like, this is good. I was wrong, but
I categorized it as too artsy. I wouldn't call it comedy or drama. I would call it art.
Artsy? That's just like, that's the category. Like, question mark is the category. Yeah.
That works.
Rob's a movie guy. He's not gonna pick,
he's not going to pick the Mario Galaxy movie.
He's not going to pick Top Gun Maverick. Yeah, like
that is a good movie, though. But yeah,
that is a good movie.
But it's not a Rob movie.
I agree.
All right, and so let's move on to questions of the day here, shall we? Matt, you got our first one.
These are all going to be from
the hot seat.
Because copied a bunch of them down before I left.
It's been like 2 months, and you take them from the hot seat.
Exactly. Yeah, they're these are good ones. These are good ones if you must know. All right, let's go with question number one. What is your biggest fear?
We did this.
I said that I was scared. I'm not capable of love. Remember?
Oh, that was like okay. Is that still true?
No,
we did this.
What's your new greatest fear?
We already did this one, dude.
Figured it out. Fine. Jesus. Okay.
I'm curious what his new greatest fear is, though. But yeah, go on.
But Rob, you also have to go back and listen to the episode, Rob.
Now he's gonna die alone, or get like, cancer, and his kid is gonna hate him. And that he's not gonna be able to create a mini city within a
that same issue.
Life's work won't be finished. Yeah. Whatever that is.
All right. Here's question number one. If you were the eighth dwarf, what would your name be? So this is like the seven dwarfs from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Well, the one that jumps to mind is Boozy. Well, come on, I thought that was a good one.
But bump silence.
I just really not a big drinker these days. I'm like, you know,
they're like sleepy, sneezy, dopey.
Nappy.
Doc, you could be a profession.
There already is a doc.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But he's named after a profession, not a adjective. Well, I would probably be happy, but since he already is one, I'd have to think of a different
one. I'm thinking of mine.
Dad, I'm going with Daddy.
Daddy the dwarf?
Yeah. He's like their dad.
Hmm?
Yeah. It's like a big part of my life.
Hmm. Interesting.
Is Guru answering these or not?
Guru doesn't know what the seven dwarves are. I don't mean to call her out.
Yeah.
You could explain the premise. They're all named after adjectives, Guru. Happy, sleazy. I mean, that's sleazy. Though that could be Rob's. That could be Rob's.
Sure, I'll take that. No.
No, the sneezy is what I meant to say. Dopey.
Happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Grumpy. That's a lot.
Can't forget grumpy. She could be sleepy too. She could be all of them.
Yeah, Guru's sleepy. We should just stick with that. Yeah.
You're not supposed to be one of them, though. You're supposed to be a new one.
Wow, Zach has wants none of your shit today, Matt.
Right.
This one's a hard one. Funny? Guru's funny the dwarf? Yeah. Okay.
I would say my name.
Did everyone answer?
No, I'll be relaxy. I don't know. I want to relax, even though I don't. But you know, that's I have usually him a chill.
Chili.
Chili.
I was gonna say chili, but that like means something else. I'm like, yeah. You know, it means like
mom from Bluey. No, I think it's all right. I'll take it. Okay. Yeah.
Game me like meat.
No, gamer like Doc. Like gamer like Doc. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Dreamy.
Yeah, you are dreaming, girl.
Oh, that's a good one.
Big dreamer.
That's a good one.
Dream girl.
All right, question number two. This is another one from the hot seat. What would you do for $100 that no one else on the call would do for $1,000?
Probably a lot.
What did Guru say?
He said we've done a similar one, but couldn't remember what. This one's going to be hard. This is going to be hard.
No, it's not, dude. It's actually pretty easy.
Okay, you go.
Okay, fine. Wipe one of my child's butts.
I would do that for $1,000.
I do that for $1,000.
For $1,000, yeah. I don't care.
Yeah. Matt said, wipe one of his children's butts. And I said, I would do that for $1,000.
Like, babysitters do that for way cheaper, right? I mean,
yeah, they do it for like $20. What the fuck?
Yeah, but you guys aren't babysitters. I thought you'd have more. Okay, fine.
Well,
okay, maybe this is harder than I thought. Everything. Nah, yeah. I mean, most of it is probably. I'm thinking of other stuff, but it's like not safe for work.
Okay, maybe we pick a different question, dude.
Fine.
We're all getting
shut down. I guess I'm off my game.
Well, it has been. We've all been on a hiatus for a while.
Okay, here's one. This is not from the hot seat. It might be from Zach. If you could prevent one assassination, which would it be?
Yeah, it's from Guru. Originally.
Okay, from Guru. If you could prevent an assassination, what would it be?
There's a lot of good options. Having a time to think about it, I'm going to say Yitzhak Rabin.
Oh.
Yitzhak Rabin, the Israeli prime minister who was assassinated in 1992.
And what would that change, you feel like?
Well, they say he was the last best hope for peace. So I guess we'll find
Zach foolishly thinks that it would be peace, but he is wrong.
Well, I don't know. At least we'll know.
Ever the optimist. Yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of assassinations, it's like they've already kind of done their stuff.
I will say Franz Ferdinand.
This is the guy who was assassinated kicking off World War I.
And maybe the entangling alliances would result in it anyway, but I don't know. It seems like a lot of bad stuff resulted out of that. So
the world would look pretty different. Yeah.
I agree. Or what was World War I inevitable? Like Judgment Day and Terminator, it had to happen.
That's right. I mean, that's what I was saying with the entangling alliances. Some people think that it is inevitable, but
I'm inevitable.
Maybe like Thanos.
Mm. Yeah, I got nothing.
Do you want to just say Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah, or JFK.
Yeah, I was thinking art
because their death resulted in movement. So. Meh.
I think the movements are already
there. It all worked out for Jay.
Damn, tootin'.
Everything.
Jay likes history just the way it is. Doesn't want to change it.
What about Harambe? Isn't that always the theory that like that was the cause of everything?
Yeah. was that an assassination? I guess that was an assassination.
In some ways, yeah. I would. I was going to say John Lennon, but like he was like, when you mentioned like, oh, there was like, he kind of had done, he was kind of inactive around that time anyway. Like, who knows if he would gotten active again, but yeah, maybe it's better he died the way, he died a hero.
There could have been a reunion though, if he had left.
Yeah, quite possibly. It seems like they all would eventually do reunions. And like, yeah, like where the money's there, and they were like Paul and John were getting along towards the end. So, but anyway, I would.
That's a good one. I think that's a good answer.
That's a good choice.
I think I'll just go with, like, real quick though. I'll go with like RFK Jr. I'm sorry, just kidding.
What?
Oh,
predicting the future. I meant to say RFK. I just say like RFK, and it just yeah exactly. I'm just saying RFK. His papa, who I feel like was like an optimistic figure, like JFK was too, but like I feel like RFK is like the future. Yeah,
that's a great.
I think he would have like I love had like a good 30 years of.
Yep. No, that's great.
Drew, how about you? You got anything?
Yeah. From India, it'll be Gandhi.
The original.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Again, hadn't he kind of done everything?
He could have had more to do.
Yeah, I mean, he mostly did, but he could have done more.
Okay. Yeah. I read that book about the India partition, and he's like around, like making trouble, kind of.
Right. You know? And then from the U.S., you're going to say JFK, your favorite.
Yeah. I mean, he was my favorite, but not favorite anymore. Do you want to tell them why?
No, you tell them.
Is it because he's a philanderer?
Yeah. I was so disappointed when I learned that. I thought he was a perfect couple and a perfect husband. But then when I learned that he had affairs, I was heartbroken.
Yeah,
wait until you hear about Bill Clinton.
No, Bill Clinton, I already didn't have a good impression.
Okay, fair. So, yeah, unfortunately, I ruined JFK for girl.
He ruined it for himself.
All right, question number three.
All right, question number three. What product are you an unpaid spokesperson for?
Yeah.
I would say I'm the one loser that uses Android. I don't know if I'm a spokesperson. They just, I don't know. They seem that. Oh, okay. Are you also? I forgot about that. I got nothing here. But yeah, I would say I'm the one guy holding strong. Although I think some people are switching over to Android now a little bit. I don't know. I'm just reading the tea leaves.
Yeah. So for me, it's Downbeats, which is these little portable, reusable earplugs that fit on your keychain, and they come in handy a lot, and people ask me about them, and I encourage everyone to have them, because our whole generation is going to be deaf by the time we're 60, I have a feeling. Just a feeling.
For me, I have a few. I like my work setup with the standing desk and the treadmill that goes into the desk. I think that's I really like having that set up. It keeps me awake and focused. So I would recommend that to anybody who works from home.
I don't know. Console gaming against my PC players and PC gaming against my console playing friends. Gaming in general. Yeah. No. Console people like their consoles, so I advocate for PCs, and then with my PC players, I advocate for consoles.
Console peasants. Guru, how about you? You must have a lot.
Plus one to what Rob said, keeping Android alive.
Yes.
Keeping all the family's messages in green. I'm the only one.
Yeah.
And also, I think Uniqlo.
Oh, yeah.
I am a, how do I say, walking.
Huge fan.
Yeah.
Walking billboard, yeah.
Yes.
Of what?
Uniqlo.
Uniqlo.
What is that?
Japanese clothing store.
Japanese clothing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's like half of her wardrobe is from there.
Got it.
All right. Anything else, guys? Are we done?
I'm
good.
Jay?
Sure.
We'll join it again.
We'll discuss that off
in the next life.
No. We'll discuss that offline. Thank you all for joining us here on Tuesday Night Gaming. Catch us once a month now at twitch.tv/mcslanty and group up with us next time.
Whether it's TV, whether it's movies, or questions about you, come for the laughs, come for the banter, come for whatever you choose. To Tuesday Night Gaming with the siblings and Jay, listen while they play.